an attempt to understand what really love in marriage is, we have to develop a much broader framework of understanding about the nature and characteristics of love. This is especially important in the culture that we are living, because in this culture, love has been reduced to a very simple, superficial, and immature concept. And when people talk about love, they are talking about a feeling that they cannot describe, and they just, when you tell them to describe it, they say, you know what I mean, okay? Or if you want to have a more elaborate description of love, they say, wow. Or something of that nature is the definition that they give you of feeling love. Furthermore, people think that love is a phenomena that happens to them, that they don't have a control over it, and they either fall into it or fall out of it, and it is totally out of their control. So you hear couples coming for counseling and say, what is the matter? And one of them very sadly said, well, I have fallen out of love with my spouse, or I have fallen in love with somebody else. You see as parents that your child, your young daughter and son, comes to you and says, I have fallen in love. And this phenomena of falling in love becomes so all-consuming, so much power, taking energy and power of that individual, that the person, for all practical purposes, cannot see anything else. It is in that situation of falling in love, that the person really doesn't follow the rules of mind, of logic, of reasoning, and is consumed with emotions and feelings of a tremendous power. Now, this initial type of a love later on leaves the individual, and then people begin to try to see whether they can re-enkindle that initial flame that they had. And the problem that emerges is enormous. And I would try to, in the course of this hour, to describe some of the aspects of this process. To begin, however, I like to start my talk by saying that people are lovers. All human beings are created as lovers. This love, furthermore, is with us from the very beginning of our lives. At the beginning, in the childhood stages, the love manifests itself in the form of a yearning, of a desire. The individual wants and desires and wants more and desires more. This yearning involves all aspects of the being of the person. A child, of course, wants more food, wants more comfort, wants more attention. As we grow older, then we want other things. We want this thing and that thing. We want better clothes. We want bigger toys. We want this, that. As we evolve, this desire, this wanting, this ontological quest that is inherent in human beings begins to have other objects, such as knowledge, such as another person, such as an idea, such as a faith, such as a nation, such as war, such as God. So what happens is that yearning that is there, this quest that is inherent in every human being, as this person grows and evolves, and as he or she decides upon the direction of life, the object of the love of this person changes. So at one time, he is in love with money. At another occasion, he may be in love with a person. On another occasion, he would fall in love with his work. Some would fall in love with an idea, and so. So the differences between people is not that some people love more than others. It is the difference of the object of the love that they choose. And by and large, your love is as magnificent, as glorious, as exciting, as marvelous as is the object of your love. If you love war, you would be a warrior. If you love money, you may become rich or be upset that you're not rich. If you love power, you may be totally intoxicated with power that you have, or you would feel totally unhappy that you didn't get what you want. But by and large, people are created as lovers. What differentiates them is the object of their love. Now that is crucial to understand. Because immediately as you do that, you realize that your will plays a tremendous role in the nature of your love. Because it is through your will that you decide upon the object of your love. Yes, you are born a lover. But what you choose as the object of your love is your decision. Okay? Now, if things were that simple, it would be easy to drop the matter and say, okay, we understand love now, let's go to something else. But that's not as simple as this. This is the beginning, this is the general framework. However, love in the context of the marriage, on the one hand, and in general, on the other hand, has several characteristics that we should keep in mind. Before we do so, a preamble is necessary. One of the laws of creation is the law of progression. everything that is created is constantly evolving and progressing. Human beings constantly evolve and progress as individuals, and human beings constantly evolve and progress collectively. Therefore, all aspects of the life of a human being, all of them, are, all of them, are subject to this law of progression, of evolution, of development, every aspect. And therefore love falls into that category as well. So we have to see what are the developmental stages of love. Because if we understand the developmental stages of love, then we would be able to identify where we are in that respect. At the beginning, love between two individuals is one directional. For example, in the context of the marriage, when people marry at the beginning, the husband tries to prove to his wife how good of a lover he is. Everything that he does in order to show his love to her is to prove to himself and to her that he is indeed a good lover. And because of that, he is preoccupied primarily with himself. Even though he is showing love to that person, he is preoccupied with himself, trying to prove something about himself. The wife is involved in the same process at the same time. The wife also tries to show her love for him by the things that she knows how to do, in order to prove to herself and him that she is indeed a good lover. And depending on how much sure or unsure we are of ourselves, this process takes one shape or another. But nevertheless, the lovers at this stage are totally preoccupied with themselves. So when they love each other, their love crosses. Many a times their love doesn't meet. An example of, there are many examples of one directional love. I'll give you some of them. I saw a recently married couple who came very upset. And the situation was this, that one day the husband coming home decided that he is going to show his love for his bride and brought 12 long-stem roses for her. Upon which she began to cry and cry, get angry and say, "You do not love me, you never have loved me, we shouldn't have got married." This poor character sitting there wondering what did he do wrong that should have received such a response from, and she wouldn't talk to him. The only thing that she said, "We want to go and see somebody right away." So they come. So I turned to her and said, "What happened?" She said, "But he knows that I'm allergic to roses." Okay? Well, of course, he had forgotten that she was allergic to roses. What he was doing, in excitement of his own self, trying to show how much he loved this beautiful bride that he had, brings the longest and roses, which is the, you know, the hallmark of showing your love, forgetting that she is allergic to roses. okay, get really sick by it. Okay. So you see, this is a one-directional love. As a matter of fact, because we are talking about developmental stages, the love stages also manifest in the collectivity of mankind, the collective life of mankind. And the best way that, one of the ways that you can see how a culture or what level of development is a culture is, you go and study their love story. The love story usually tells you where a culture is. For example, in the Persian literature, you have these two lovers, Shirin and Farhad. Shirin is a princess. She sits there and sips on her drink, and they come and they cool her off, and she puts a little blush on her, and she's just sitting there having really good time. Farhad is a poor stone cutter. Young, handsome man, but poor, not belonging to the royal family. And he wanders one day and comes and sees this absolutely beautiful prince and falls in love. It's dangerous when you're a stone cutter to fall, but nevertheless, he did. He fell in love, and he went to the king and said that I want to marry the princess Shirin. And the king, being the kind of a king that he was, he says, of course you can marry the princess, only you have to do one thing. He said, yeah, anything. He said, you just simply go and cut piece by piece that mountain and move it from there to there. Once you have finished, you can marry she. So Farhad went and started cutting the stone, putting it, hauling it, moving it from here to there. And in the meanwhile, Shirin had the time of her life, got married a few times, did everything that she wanted, and the poor bugger died. Okay? To this day, Farhads are doing that. Okay? It's a very good example of a one-directional love. One gives and gives and gives, and the other one receives and receives and receives. And that's it. Of course, there are other examples of that one-directional love that are very healthy. For example, the love of the parent to the child, by and large, is a one-directional love. The parent shows his love or her love by giving to the child, and the child shows his or her love by receiving it. Okay? The parent gets upset if the child doesn't receive it. I have seen many parents who say, my child doesn't love me. They say, why you say that? He said, because doesn't matter what I do for him, he's not happy. You see, doesn't receive the love. And then they get upset. But for example, for adults, there are times that one-directional love are perfectly healthy. For example, if you're sick and somebody comes and takes care of you. But how many of you know people who are awful patients? They never would allow you to take care of them. So I don't want you to do this. You don't take care of me. I would do it myself. Because they don't know how to receive love. Okay? So the one directional love is the first stage of the love relationship. Then gradually, as the love relationship evolves and develops, and also as the person evolves and develops, we reach to the second stage of love. And the second stage of love is the competitive. It is in a stage in which the husband and wife, the lovers, begin to compete with one another, trying to show who loves who the most. And one is, husband is saying, I love you most, and the wife says, I love you most, sir, and most.